Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello everyone and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing the events of last night's Raw at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, you can always log into our chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Last night's Monday Night Raw, the Monday Night Raw before the big 25th anniversary show. And hey, folks, it started out with a bang, didn't it? Braun Strowman comes out and gets a rare chance to cut a promo in which he basically says he's going to tell the fans a story and proceeds to say this story is that a monster faces a beast, faces a machine, and guess what happens? The monster wins. Kurt Angle comes out with security, and in a move that really surprised me and I thought was an excellent move, Kurt Angle says, look, after what you did last week, you could have seriously injured both Kane and Brock Lesnar, not to mention people backstage. Can't have it. Can't have it, and you're not only are you not in the main event of, well, at least the title match of the Royal Rumble, you're not in it at all. You're fired. Now, the good news on this is that Braun Strowman didn't go crazy and attack Kurt Angle. Braun Strowman did not go crazy and start tossing around security guards who were trying to help Kurt Angle. Braun Strowman legitimately looked shocked and not sure what it was he was going to do next. Kurt Angle immediately leaves the ring. Braun Strowman goes after him. Security's following Braun Strowman out of the building. And this had a really good opening feel. It set the tone for Monday Night Raw, which is Braun Strowman's been fired. Now that he's been fired, what are we going to do? Are they going to somehow reinstate him? Are we going to go through with just Kane versus Brock Lesnar? Is there some kind of an angle involved here? What's going to happen backstage? It opened Raw in a way that made you want to watch what's going to happen next. Now, we're going to talk about a lot of the things that happened next and if it was any good or if they blew it. But this opening segment had some logic. I thought it was well executed. I thought it helped Braun Strowman in the sense that Braun Strowman became a little bit humanized in the sense that when he was told he was fired, he didn't just say, I don't care, I'm showing up and killing everybody anyway. He really looked shocked, like, you're kidding. He flinched a little bit. He bit his lip. He wasn't sure what to say. And then subsequently, he left ringside with security flanking him. Thought this was a really, really good opening segment of Raw, Mike, and it definitely set the tone for what I thought would be a great Raw. We'll discuss in a minute whether it was, but this opening segment I thought was excellent.
This is the exact reaction you would think somebody would have when they get fired, you know? I mean, in any job, you're fired, all right? You know, you'll probably say something or other, but you'll just have to sit there and almost take it and bite your lip and do exactly what he did, you know? And like you said, that's not only was it logical what Kurt Angle did, but it was the reaction was a logical reaction from Braun Strowman.
And not only a logical reaction, but a very human one that made you give him some. See, what happened last week was weird because regardless of whether Braun Strowman's supposed to be a face or a heel or an in-between, that's probably going way too far. That's probably going way, way, way too far. And the look was the realization that I probably went a little too far. And I didn't get away with it this time. and they will cut me loose. And because Braun Strowman hasn't been around 20 years, you can almost feel that, uh-oh, you know, I was testing the waters and I went a little too far and now I'm done. So I thought that was really good, Todd. I thought that it set a good tone for what, you know, Monday Night Raw to follow.
You're absolutely right there with Braun Strowman, where they, he, well, like you said, it made it look real when he was about to walk out and walk out of the building being escorted out by security. At least he didn't grab
the
lipstick on the
general
manager. Yeah,
I really liked it. I mean, it made Braun Strowman sympathetic, too. You know, like, the fans were like, no, and Braun Strowman looked a little upset. And just the opening, Sabretooth, I thought was well executed.
I thought it was okay, but I wouldn't have done it. I mean, I would have had, like, Kurt Angle came out first and maybe called Braun Strowman out. I wasn't really feeling like he wants to tell a story. You know, it's like ascending mixed singles, like you said. Is he a face? I mean, he's supposed to be a face, but he's trying to keep, but he's killing people. I mean, so I don't. So, like I said,
it's a little confusing. I think what they're trying to do, and whether they're trying to do it successfully or not, we can argue. I think they're trying to say he's a face, but if we take away all of the crazy things he does, the fans won't like him, like Roddy Piper. When Roddy Piper turned face, he still had to do all the crazy Roddy Piper things, or you say, well, if you change him, forget it. If he's not that devious, sneaky, I'll-do-anything guy, then we don't want him. So I think they felt that if they change Braun Strowman into too righteous a person, the fans will lose their interest in him. They like him because of these crazy things. So just flip who he does it to, as opposed to not doing it at all, which sometimes works. I don't really have a problem with that. So Braun Strowman literally goes backstage, and he's told he has to leave. Now, I don't know who these security guards are. They're obviously wrestlers. Local guys, whatever. I didn't recognize any of them off the bat. But a couple of them did a damn good job. And I got to tell you, the one guy that he threw over the barricade into a table, and there was a second table, and he broke the one, didn't break the other one. That looked very good. That looked very good. And then the one guy running and getting caught looked really good. So I'm really down with this so far. Okay, I'm watching this saying this is highly entertaining. He's beat up the security guards, and then he says, I'm not leaving until everybody gets a taste of this. And I say to myself, well, this is the whole show. He's going to disrupt the entire show. For 3 hours, Braun Strowman is going to storm around this thing, and God knows what's going to happen. I mean, anything could happen. We could see him get involved in all kinds of different feuds and cost all kinds of different people things, and I don't know where this is heading. And there's a small part of me that says this isn't heading to him and Bray Wyatt maybe bumping heads here somehow or getting back together or something happening. I didn't know where it was heading, but I liked the fact that I didn't know, Mike. And I thought, so far, so good.
Yeah, so far, so good. And we'll get to the rest of it because there's two other segments in this thing that we need to talk about. But so far, so good with this thing, you know. And you know, we'll get to those other two segments in a while. But, yeah, so far, so good.
Those security guard guys, the trainees or whatever, Todd, did a really, really good job.
You're absolutely right there with the – well, like you said, with the one security guard got thrown like a basketball into not the first table and through the second table next to it.
They really took some heavy bumps, Sabretooth. I mean, they made Braun Strowman look really, really good.
Yeah, they did. Especially the guy who threw against that steel door. I guess like that steel roll up door. They really took it hard. But yeah, I was like you though. I mean, like I'm expecting a Braun Strowman pissed off backstage. I'm thinking like huge ramifications, like matches being interfered with, people getting injured backstage, not being able, you know, it's like a hurricane been sent loose backstage. That's what I was expecting.
That's exactly what I thought Raw was going to be, and it actually made me set up. I was very tired last night, and I'm like, I'm going to watch this. I might fall asleep, and I'm actually watching it, and I actually set up, and I'm like, whoa, this is going to be good. This is going to be a Raw that's like, it's out of control. You don't know what's going to happen. There are going to be matches that are taking place, and they're not even going to take place because Strowman's going to attack somebody backstage, or Lord knows what's going to happen. But this could be entertaining. So I actually set up, and I'm like, okay, this is going to be great. Loved the security guard jobs, by the way. Whoever those guys were, they took great bumps. They really earned their money last night. So we start out with Titus O'Neil and Apollo Crews, Titus Worldwide versus The Bar. And I'm thinking, we're not even going to get here. Something's going to happen. Braun Strowman's going to come out of nowhere and kill somebody. But they didn't. They let this match take place. Now, Jason Jordan, who was injured, for the benefit of you people who don't know, he got injured, I guess, at a house show. The severity of his injury isn't much. I mean, it's not like he's going to be out months or even too many weeks, but they can't let him compete right now. Comes down, distracts The Bar, and one more time, Titus O'Neil and company get the victory. Now, the weird thing is that Seth Rollins comes down like he shouldn't be doing this. I don't really know why Seth Rollins cares if he comes down and antagonizes The Bar, but okay. I actually thought Seth Rollins was going to come down and be like, you know, Braun Strowman's backstage killing people. We might want to take a powder or something. But no, he was just admonishing him for coming down and not really interfering, but distracting in the match. Either way, it doesn't matter. Again, The Bar are not hurt by this victory. Again, Titus Worldwide is helped by the victory. So Sabretooth, I'm not disputing that one. It was a good match. And even though they didn't win clean, while they were actually in the match, Titus Worldwide was doing very well. They were showing they were competitive, even in a fair match against The Bar. So I think that they are doing a good job of pushing them.
Right. And these past couple of weeks, I mean, this is the best I've seen these two guys together in the ring. You know, I mean, granted that they're good, this is like the best. I mean, like, but it's like they're letting them, I don't know, like someone put like a word in their ear, like let these guys really show what they can do in that ring. Because they're both good athletes, you know. But yeah,
no question.
But like you said, though, it doesn't hurt The Bar, and it sure as hell helps Titus brand. Like I said, I mean, like when they get those belts back eventually, they can step up and say, we beat y'all, you know, we beat y'all, so they could be in contention for those belts, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm liking the Titus Worldwide thing. Here's the thing that really shocks me about the Titus Worldwide thing. Dana Brooke, who I don't like. I didn't like her as a professional wrestler. I thought she was terrible on the mic. When they added her to the team, somehow this has become more interesting. I'm not sure why, but I'm just liking the whole dynamic of this, you know, statistical analytic person coming down to ringside and Titus and being more active and not just being a manager, but being a wrestler. And I don't know, man, I'm just buying it. I like it so far, Mike.
Right. I mean, it's almost like that. If you remember that movie Moneyball about Billy Bean and all that stuff, it's almost as if they're doing that type of thing with Titus Worldwide and Dana Brooke. I mean, this almost reminds me when we first saw Stacy Keibler as Miss Hancock. You know?
Right. Yeah, I'm liking it. I mean, I think there's chemistry between all three of them now. There's a weird chemistry when they come out that I'm digging. I don't know. I just like it. So we then get to Enzo, who does, thankfully, for all of the people who want to write up and say Enzo sucks and Enzo's not a good wrestler and Enzo don't know seven moves, Enzo knows enough to limp when he comes walking down the aisle after he's supposed to have a major, major injury. And trust me, he didn't have to limp. Thankfully, somebody realizes they have to sell. And Cedric Alexander, once again, proves that he is a qualified wrestler, but he's not good on the mic. He definitely needs Goldust. Who is good on the mic? I don't know why Goldust is on 205 Live. I have no idea. The only thing I can come up with for you people is that they realize that 205 Live needs personalities, and they just don't have any. So they're saying, well, we have Enzo, but we need others. We need somebody that people have already established as a star, and they figure maybe Goldust. He's popular. He's always been popular, and they figure he'll help. I don't know if he'll help or not. But that's the only reason I can figure out why Goldust is floating around, Sabretooth.
Right. But But at first I was like scratching my head. Yeah, but last night, you know, it seems like, you know, but it seems like he's like a good fit for Cedric Alexander, though. Now what I'm hoping that they should, what they might do is like Enzo might get his own guy off the main roster, you know, like to back him or whatever.
Yep.
But what I don't want, but what I don't want is for like those main roster guys to be in the matches, though. I mean, they can like be like the hype man for them, but don't get in the matches, though. That's what I don't want, because they got their own brand. You know, let 205 Live, you know, let those guys do the in-ring work. Let the main roster guys, if they have them, like, let them like back them up or be like the hype man for them, you know. So
yeah, it's almost making me think, though, that they've given up a little on the 205 Live guys and said, you know what, we got to integrate some of our own guys for interest, Todd.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, like Sabretooth, you said, you don't need the main guys wrestling on the 205, but they could be like a manager type or something.
Yeah, I could see Goldust and maybe some of the other people that aren't being used in that capacity. I just think eventually they're going to make them get in the ring. I just got that feeling, Mike.
I got that feeling, but also I do agree with him, and I say this. I mean, we once thought that they'd given up with Goldust, with this whole thing of Goldust being a manager. Well, if he keeps doing this, then that tells me that they haven't kind of given up on that idea of Goldust being a manager, you know. Cause
right.
You know, Goldust is a personality. We know he's good on the mic. You could stick him not just Cedric Alexander, but there are guys on the main roster that you could stick him with and have him be their manager and do that and make use of this guy, you know?
Makes me wonder if they have realized what we realized, and that is maybe Cedric Alexander is better suited to the main roster, and they're going to have some kind of Goldust turn, and that's how he's going to get to the main roster, and then from then on he'll just be like, okay, beat Goldust, and on we go. In the main roster and to hell with 205 Live. That is a possibility. Because Cedric Alexander is naturally a heavier guy. He could put on another 10, 15 pounds and easily compete on the main roster. So we'll watch that very carefully. It's interesting. The match was okay with Tony Nese. In the meantime, Braun Strowman is wrecking Kurt Angle's office, saying he wants Kurt Angle and he's going to be looking for him and blah, blah, blah. There's a couple of great segments with Braun Strowman in catering where he damn near kills Kurt Hawkins and eats a slice of chocolate cake. And there's a couple of decent segments, but we're going to get to the 800-pound gorilla in the room in a minute. First, let's go to Asuka. Well, let's go to the fact that The Miz comes back, does a great speech. Elias comes out. And the thing about Elias, and you got to watch this very carefully, we'll get to this also a little bit later, is that they're walking a very thin line with Elias. And that is, they realize he's popular. And they're not 100% sure what they're going to do with him. So they're keeping him, A, out of the ring to an extent, and B, they're letting him walk that line between am I a face or am I a heel? And we'll address that in a minute. But anyway, Asuka and Nia Jax. And this is where Raw starts to break down, unfortunately, for me. The match itself isn't great, but it's okay. But if you think that that ending in any way, shape, or form endeared Asuka to the fans, it did exactly the opposite. It endeared Nia Jax to the fans. It made Nia Jax look courageous, and I'm going to get back in this ring. Even though I'm hurt, I'm going to try to stand up. I'm not going to quit. It made Asuka look like a woman who was being dominated and just out of desperation pulled a move. Fans were booing. That's not the way you want to promote Asuka at all. I guess maybe you're turning Nia Jax's face. I don't know how you're going to turn Nia Jax's face when her boyfriend's a heel and her best friend is a heel. Unless you're planning on something where, and if you are, I'm patting you on the back right now. If you're planning that Alexa Bliss is going to make a move on Enzo to get her away from Nia Jax, that'll be great. That'll be great for the following reasons. Every single female in the building is going to say, oh, hell, the hot girl who knows she can steal somebody's boyfriend stole the girl's boyfriend right out from underneath them because she's jealous. and she just wanted to break them up. She just wanted to prove that he'll go with her. And sure enough, that slimy little bastard jumped ship for some hotter girl and left this poor girl heartbroken who's not as attractive. That will work. That will work. If you're planning that. But I'm not giving you credit that you're planning that. I don't think you're planning that. I don't know what you're planning with Nia Jax. But having her do this, Sabretooth, in my opinion, cements her as a fan favorite, and it makes Oscar look bad.
Yeah, it does. I mean, like, I was feeling bad for Nia, man. I mean, like, she got, I mean, she has that pity game down pat. I mean, she was looking just downtrodden, man, crying in the ring and stuff. And for a minute there, I thought Alexa was going to turn on her for a minute, you know, cause again, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, but the good thing is though, this is leading up to something, though, and the female division needs storylines. They cannot be a one-trick pony after where it's all absolution every week. You need other storylines, other branches. So that's the one good thing about it.
I would love to see this Enzo thing play out where Alexa Bliss says, I got to get Nia away from Enzo. And the only way I know to do that is to try to make a move on him myself and prove that he's a dog who will just go for anybody. That could work in the long run, Mike.
It can work in the long run. What was pretty cool about this whole thing is that now you got a boyfriend, a quote boyfriend and a girlfriend both having injuries. That, I mean, what you gonna do? You gonna take a woman, another woman's man when she can't defend it? You know, you got when she's injured and you gotta try and take her man.
See, the thing that worries me though is they didn't pull Enzo off as being a heel. Enzo comes over and says, you know, are you all right? When Alexa Bliss says, I got this, he says, no, I got this. He came across as a face. So it's really, it's puzzling me where the hell they're going to do. Because Nia Jax, who's supposed to be a heel, came across last night as a face. Enzo, who definitely is supposed to be a heel, came across as a concerned boyfriend who told a girl who most people are going to say is a much hotter girl to hit the road so he could be with his girlfriend. And only Alexa Bliss comes out looking like an opportunist. Enzo comes out looking okay. And Nia Jax comes out looking okay, Sabretooth. So I'm not sure where they're going with this.
Right. But how awesome would it be, though, if this flipped over into Enzo's championship match at the Royal Rumble, though? Maybe Alexa might get back at him by costing him his title or something.
There's supposed to be something going on where she becomes his referee, meaning Nia Jax, that Nia Jax does refereeing during Enzo matches, which I guess that's going to be some kind of thing on 205 Live coming up. We'll see how that pans out. The Revival have a squash match. Thank you. Thank you for bringing back the squash match. The Revival needed it. If any team needs it, the Revival needs it. You need to be able to see it. I know fans wrote to me and said, I don't like them. They're boring. You know who's going to win. They're not boring because what happens is you get to see what a team can do. And you get to anticipate, I wonder if they could do that same thing to a different team that's not Joe Browns. They needed this. Absolutely needed it. And the speech they gave afterwards, even though those guys looked nervous on the mic, they weren't so smooth on the mic. But the substance of what they said, I thought was excellent. It's what we've been saying on the show. Is that there's two kind of forms of wrestling here. There's the entertainment, and then there's the wrestler, and the pure wrestler. Even though they say that's what this sport is all about. No, it's not really. So they are being the heels in a weird way when they're saying we're the hardworking, we're just athletes. We're not here to entertain you. We're the guys who just train and do our moves, and we don't participate in any of this entertainment crapola. That's technically a heel move because the entertaining people are the people you subsequently like the best. So I found that kind of fascinating that it was almost like the Ascension started out, but they stopped a little short of it. But it's very similar, Mike.
It's very similar, and look, you know, we talk about how bad Booker T has been, but throughout the night, he didn't seem as bad. And look, Corey Graves helped this whole thing out as well tonight and promoting the fact that he knows these guys. He he's seen these guys in NXT and all that stuff, and they can be good, and basically intimating that they would have been good much sooner except for the injuries.
No question. Corey Graves was very good, actually, and even in selling the Braun Strowman firing, saying, look, you know, that's the right move. But, yeah, I thought the Revival squash match was good, Sabretooth. I thought it set him up nicely.
Yep, and we need more squash matches, man, because, I mean, like you said, I mean, we need a chance to see what these guys can do, as well as build up anticipation after see, like you said, wondering, like, could they do this to the bar, for example. You know, we need more squash matches instead of just, like, using like, your regular regular main roster guys for squash matches. I hate when they do that.
Me too. Me too. No, I was all about it. I thought it was great. I thought their speech was great. I thought everything was good. So I like that a lot. The Miz comes back. As we said, Elias comes out, does a song. Before this, of course, Braun Strowman, we should talk about that moment. Braun Strowman goes berserk and apparently tips over the camera truck. Now, for all the hard work you did, the WWE does this too much. This show is going along pretty damn well. I didn't like the Nia Jax ending. It was confusing, and I thought it hurt Asuka. But for the most part, this show's going along pretty well. And the Braun Strowman thing's going along really well. And then you have to go back to that old standby. An ambulance isn't enough. Now it's a camera truck that weighs, I don't know, 10 times more than the ambulance. And you just say to yourself, well, okay, if he can do that, then I'm sorry. If you're Brock Lesnar, you're like, listen, cancel my match. Because I'm not fighting a guy who can do that. Then he could potentially just put me in a headlock and tear my head completely off my body. I didn't sign up to fight Godzilla, and I'm not going to do it. Come Sunday, Braun Strowman won't be able to do that, and it makes absolutely no sense. It's going too far. There was absolutely zero need to do that. All he had to do is keep beating up people. All he had to do was keep beating up camera crew guys and people backstage, and Kurt Angle could have been saying, I don't know what we're going to do here. We're going to have to call the police. As Corey Graves was saying and Booker T was saying, call the police, which is the logical thing you would do, so I'm glad they brought it up. Everything was going great until this spot. And then he comes out and assaults Michael Cole for no reason. I don't know why that would be a good thing, because that is a heel move. And even when he's told, you reinstated Stephanie McMahon, which, what is that? What? So Stephanie McMahon says, okay, a guy's running amok and you can't stop him. Just rehire him. Really? Okay, well, that made no sense. And that shit the bed quick. But then instead of letting Michael Cole go, he throws him off the stage. And luckily he's caught by people. And he looks like he's about as hurt as I would be just, you know, sitting in my easy chair. But no, he can't continue. So Tom Phillips has to replace him. You jump the shark here. As Sabretooth had said on our WrestleChat Facebook page, it's jumping the shark again. There was no need for this. This makes it all look fake. This makes the whole thing, all the goodwill you had up to this point, goes down the drain when you end it this way. You went too far. You didn't have to go this far. They just don't seem to understand it, Sabretooth. They think bigger is better.
Right. And like we said earlier, all you had to do was, like, just raise hell backstage, beat up a couple of guys, make them, like, alter a few matches as to where guys couldn't show up for their matches, have them take out a few main roster guys. But no. And also, notice how, like, he was in the TV truck, right? He's like, I'm going to tear all this stuff up. I'm going to tear it up. And then he asked the guy, what does this do? I'm like, what the hell? he's just going on his tirade. I'm going to turn these TV screens up. What does it do? If you're going to do it, do it. Don't ask people how you're going to. I'm like, man, it was just a bad segment all around, man. And like you said, if I have a match plant with a guy and I see him flip over a tractor trailer, hey, I'm calling out sick that day. I'm sorry. Hey,
cancel my match. It's not happening. You know, the point is well taken, Sabretooth, and that is they started to play it for comedy, and it wasn't supposed to be funny. It was bad enough that he ate the slice of cake, but I was like, well, that's okay. It's subtle. It's all right. But when he asked the guy, what does this do? Then I'm realizing they still want to make him that lovable maniac, and forget it. He should have just been the maniac. Just leave it well enough alone, because when you go that far, Mike, then it becomes silly.
Yeah, you know, I would have almost rather have seen him kind of destroy one of the inside of that TV truck, where, I mean, it might possibly have knocked him off there, maybe, but then again, you might have, I'm pretty sure they have more than one of those trucks available that would keep them on the air if they would have done that. So I would have almost rather have seen them destroy a couple of those screens, maybe those computer banks or whatever. I mean, I can buy that stuff. I can buy him tipping over the way he did it. I can buy it because I've seen some of these strongman competitions, and that's what they do. They don't do it in one shot. They start rocking the whole thing, and then they turn it over. You know, that's how they do it. That's how they turn over buses in these riots after sporting events. They start rocking the bus, and then they.
But there's 50 people. I can guarantee you. I watch those strongman events. There ain't nobody on earth that's tipping over a production truck, nor an ambulance. None of them. Because initially, to get it rocking, you have to be strong enough to get it off its front wheel, and ain't nobody that strong. That's tons. So it makes a mockery of it, and then it no longer looks real. But wouldn't it have been great if they did go off the air for a minute or two and said, you know, had a stay tuned thing or something, and then said, we're running on a generator thanks to Brock Lesnar, or Braun Strowman. Or wouldn't it have been better if he never did that, remained fired, and we're going into the 25th anniversary show saying, there's no Braun Strowman. And then maybe if Stephanie wants to come out on the 25th anniversary show and say, I'm reinstating him. At least we had that week of suspense, Todd. That would have been far better.
You're absolutely right there. I would have done the same thing. But when I watched that part when he was in the TV truck, all the screens and all the patrols and everything,
I would
have done what Mike said, just try to smash the board
If they went off the air or had to go to commercial, when they came back, they said, we're running on a generator power thanks to Strowman or something. That would have been cool. Anyway, The Miz comes out, gives a very, very, very impassioned speech. But ahead of that, Elias comes out and does something very odd. First, he gets the whole crowd to basically chant walk with Elias, which is definitely a face thing. Then he says, I hope Michael Cole is okay, which is certainly a face thing. Then he proceeds to put down the basketball team, San Antonio Spurs, which is a heel thing. And I'm saying to myself, they don't know what they want to do with Elias. They're not 100% sure what they want to do with him. He clears the ring before The Miz even gets there, so he doesn't have any real super association with him. And on top of it, says, I'm being paid to sing this song. I'm not doing it because I like The Miz, necessarily. And it just seems to me, Sabretooth, that they're a little confused about where they want to go with him.
I think what it is like, they must think that he has that rock appeal as to where if The Rock was a heel, I mean, well, like people booed him, but they still liked him. I mean, like you said, the cool shit though that made them cheer, whatever. And I guess they think like that Elias has that appeal, but he's not. I mean, in a way, he does, but he's not there yet. You know, that's the way he can be like a cool heel. You know,
right.
As to whether for him to say something, put you down, where he can, like, put you down and you still clap him. I mean, like what he did last night, like you said, he put down the Spurs and they weren't clapping. They were booing, you know.
Right.
He's not there yet.
Right. No, I don't know what they want to do with him. I think they need to give him a good heel run before they flip him. And if they're going to give him a good heel run before they flip him, don't let him do things that are face-oriented, Mike, because it doesn't help.
Yeah, it doesn't help. And look, you know, one thing that was – one little detail – that a lot of people might have missed is when he said, what does WWE stand for? And they all chanted, walk with Elias. That was That was a little detail. That was a nice little detail.
Yeah, like I said, he's got the fans behind him. But then he does these heel things, like put down the Spurs in their hometown, and you're like, okay, well, why'd you let him do that then? I don't get where they're going with this. And they're purposely keeping him out of any feuds or competition, which means they don't know who they want to put him up against either. Anyway, Sonya Deville takes on Sasha Banks, and the WWE makes the announcement that we made a couple of weeks ago, and that is that Paige isn't going to be in the Royal Rumble, and she probably isn't going to be in a WWE ring ever. I'm told she was given that final word that they are not going to clear her, that doctors will no longer clear her to wrestle ever. They're not even going to take another shot at it. They're not clearing her to wrestle in WWE for the length of her contract. And they've cemented the fact that she's not going to be in the Royal Rumble, which I'll tell you, that's heartbreaking to me. There is some way, don't tell me, if she can scamper down to ringside and still do her little dance and chicken neck herself and all that kind of stuff, don't tell me she can't stand in that ring and by her own power somehow fall out. I think she could. And it's a shame that you're not giving her that opportunity. I mean that. You don't even have to have anybody even barely touch her. They could just barely touch her leg or something and she falls out. There's ways to do this, that she could still be a member of this. And I'm shocked that the WWE didn't give it a shot. But it's a shame. Now, as far as Sasha Banks, you have to think that this is some kind of a punishment. She basically got her head handed to her and lost clean, dead center, middle of the ring to Sonya Deville. This is a girl that, you know, a year ago they were putting up as top of the line. You know, you're not beating Sasha Banks too easy. I don't know. Sonya Deville made it look pretty easy there, Sabretooth.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's like they're trying to sell the fact that the reason she won was like because of her MMA background. I think that's what they was trying to like sell on the fact that reason, you know, that she won because, like, you know, because of the MMA background. That's why she won, which would make sense kind of, but still though, I mean, over Sasha Banks, you know.
Yeah, it's, I mean, like I said, it was a glorified squash match, Mike, and you have to think that the Paige situation had something to do with that.
Yeah, you gotta think. And this is a point. We talk about punishment, things people getting punishment for trivial things like what happened with Titus O'Neil. But this is, I kind of agree with this, that it's a punishment and that it probably should happen this way because she did something that she shouldn't have done. And, Paige should get punished too, but Paige didn't have to accept it. But she didn't have to do the move anyway, you know.
No, look, I agree with you. It was a horrible call, and if they want to tell her, look, you're losing some matches due to this horrible call, I don't have a problem with it. It was just an observation, Sabretooth, that it seemed like that's why she got beat so quickly and so thoroughly.
Right. I mean, they could have at least like had it like after where she got distracted. So I think like easily like had like, you know, Paige or the other girl like distract her or something, but no, it was a clean win. You know, no distractions or anything. It was clean.
Yep, very unusual. We then get to Woken Matt Hardy versus Heath Slater. And here's a newsflash. The Hardy reaction's getting worse by the week. It's not working. And I told you it wasn't going to work because I told you the WWE was not putting their effort into it. They weren't shooting segments with lighting and backdrop, and they weren't letting this character flesh out. The only thing they want him to do is go delete, 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 and laugh like a donkey. And they think that's enough. But that was just a very small fraction of what made this broken Matt Hardy gimmick work. It also was the weirdness of his house and being inside the Hardy estate and all the weird things that he apparently had on the grounds, and his groundskeeper and his wife and his baby and a boxing kangaroo and a drone and all these other weird things. And you've relegated it to Woken Matt Hardy is just a guy who goes delete, 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 and then goes, and that's just not entertaining. So you knew that wasn't going to work. And I told you the WWE was not going to do that version of Broken Matt Hardy. I knew they weren't going to do it. And what you've got is, I don't know. It's to me, Sabretooth, it's almost embarrassing.
Right, because, like, I mean, like, the only good thing that I like about this whole walking thing is that, like, he wrestles differently. He's not, he changed his wrestling style. He's not doing, like, the Randy Orton to where he changed personas and he's still Randy Orton.
Right.
I mean, at least he's changing, like, the way he fights. But, yeah, man, they should run this thing as him being, like, a type of mad genius. Like, have him at his compound, at his home, playing the piano, you know, doing like some oddball stuff and stuff, just like laughing all the time. I mean, it's a joke now.
You got to go all in. If you're not going to go all in on this gimmick, it fails because this gimmick is so predicated upon being bizarre and eclectic that if you just try to zero in on one or two things of it, Mike, it falls short.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, I'm starting to believe they need to have Senior Benjamin. They need to find some money. We know Jeff's coming back. Jeff needs to be a part of this. They need to bring Reeby in, you know, as well. So, you know, to be part of, they need the whole enchilada for this, and they need to go all in, and they need to do some of this stuff. I mean, they went all in when Bray Wyatt first showed. They went all in on Bray Wyatt, and we saw how that went over.
Yeah, you got to go all in on it. Todd, I'm not a big fan of the gimmick, even when they go all in on it, but if you don't, it's even worse.
Absolutely, right there. Well, like you said, I'm not a fan of that gimmick. But, well, like you said, it's going to end up getting worse and worse and worse down the road.
Fans are already tired of it. I mean, it's this, and you know who's going to get blamed? Bray Wyatt. Because they're going to say, every time we go to a Bray Wyatt feud, wasn't even on the show. Every time we go to a Bray Wyatt feud, it's boring. Every time the fans don't like it. Well, yeah, that's because you've given them nothing. You've given them nothing to work with. That's why. Ridiculous. Anyway, Jason Jordan goes backstage and basically says to Kurt Angle, I had your back in case Braun Strowman was going to jump you. You probably didn't notice that I had your back, but I did. And I want to say thank you for believing in me. And I know my tag team partner, Seth Rollins, is upset about the loss to the Balor Club. So I think you should give him a match tonight against Finn Balor. At least. At that moment in time, I said, I know Seth Rollins is going to be upset. He's going to have to be upset according to the storyline. But if Seth Rollins says, you got me a match with Finn Balor, how dare you, blah, 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 like he was scared of Finn Balor, I was going to turn it off. Because at that point, I said, well, then forget it. They just don't get it, and that's it. But fortunately, fortunately, they didn't do that. Seth Rollins said, I don't mind the match with Finn Balor. As a matter of fact, I'm glad I got the match with Finn Balor. But I don't like you taking that upon yourself to do it. It's not your place. That was fine. I'm okay with it. And hey, guess what? Finn Balor's now got the main event 2 Raws in a row. Now, I'm saying to myself, I wonder if we're going to get the full heel turn from Finn Balor. Because here comes the club out with him. And even if Jason Jordan comes out with Seth, which he does, it's still 3-on-2. But they did interfere. And look, yes, we got the interference later, the confusion later, and the whole 9 yards. But the key factor that I want you guys to focus on is Seth Rollins did the curb stomp. First time I've seen him do that in a year, more than a year. And second is, they left ample time on Monday Night Raw after the match was over to allow the cameras to linger on Finn Balor selling that curb stomp. There's no reason for that. They never do that. They never let the camera linger on the guy who sold the finisher. They let the camera linger on the guy with his hand in the air saying, I won, yeah, I won, and then, oh, we're going off the air. So there's a reason they did that. And my first theory is that they're going to say that Finn Balor, they want some excuse for Finn Balor to go a little loopy and become a heel. I think that's what we're going to see. Or they're going to say that Finn Balor's injured or has a concussion or some kind of alter ego thing is going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. But I do know that reinstating the curb stomp, and on top of that, allowing ample TV time for Finn Balor to sell he's really shaken up by this, means something is coming, Sabretooth. Something big has to be coming out of this.
Yeah, two things right quick. When he did that curb stomp, I jumped up out of my chair, and I was floored when he did that curve stomp. I said, "Curve stomp!" You know, I was so happy that they brought that back. And also with the Jason Jordan thing, they did something I think it was subtle, but that was really a heel thing what he did, because here you have his dad Kurt Angle going through dire stress over Braun Strowman. His job is at stake. Braun Strowman's raising hell all over the place, but here comes Jason Jordan with his own agenda or whatever, not even addressing what his dad's going through. I just want to say that I got your back. You know, you know what I'm saying? He's not like,
right.
He's not feeling Kurt's pain. You know what I'm saying? It's all about him and Seth Rollins. You know what I'm saying?
That's it's a selfish kid thing. There's no question. And he's doing it very well. But I think we know where Jordan's heading. He's heading to that full-fledged heel turn. But I just thought it was really fascinating how they let the camera linger on Finn Balor and obviously told him to oversell this curb stomp as if he was affected by it, Mike. I mean, really affected by it.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, we hardly ever see him do something like that. I mean, you can get in a fight with Goldust or with any of these guys, and he's not going to sell those punches. But they specifically went off and told him, "You've got to sell this." And another thing that stands out to me is they finally figured out that jumping knee that he's been doing just isn't registering with fans.
No, now I don't know whether they've reinstated it and it's always going to be the case, or they just wanted this one time for this to happen so that our thought process is Seth Rollins had to go back to this extremely desperate move to beat Finn Balor. That could be the case. Now, they had this earlier in the match where it looked like Finn Balor won. So, obviously, there's going to be some kind of feud going on. Don't know where this is going to go. I don't know whether we're going to see Finn Balor officially turn heel off of getting a concussion or changing personality, or we're doing a gimmick where he's injured for a while, or he passes out in the ring, or I don't know what they're going to do. But there's something coming. There's definitely something coming. They would never have let that camera shot linger that long unless they wanted to end Monday Night Raw with a message of Finn Balor's not okay. And Seth Rollins' curb stomp is to blame. So, Todd, it does look like they're going to do something with Finn Balor regarding that ending.
Yeah, absolutely, right there. When Seth Rollins and Jason Jordan snuck out of the ring before the club went in the ring, it looks like a sort of like a sneaky heel move or something from the both of them.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. We'll just have to wait and see. Before we get to our Monday Night Raw rating, I do want to mention that Kevin Owens also apparently is injured. He'll be on SmackDown tonight, but what I'm told is he will not compete. He's not seriously injured, and his Rumble match is still on, and everything's good so far, but I guess they're erring on the side of caution, and they're not allowing him to get in the ring and make it worse. But he's injured. And these rash of injuries, it's really becoming outrageous. It's becoming one or two a week. And at some point, you know, wrestling is a sport where you're going to get injured. It's not a matter of will you, it's a matter of when will you. But when they come with such alarming frequency, Samoa Joe out, Paige, career ended, Jason Jordan injured for a couple of weeks, Kevin Owens now injured for a couple of weeks, a couple other guys working hurt, you're saying to yourself, something's not right, because this is not the way it used to be. So we really have to take that into consideration. You know, this is, it's getting to the point where they're going to have to bring this down a couple notches. And you can be just as exciting in the ring and just as impactful in the ring and not risk injury every other move. So hopefully everything's okay with Kevin Owen. And, you know, hopefully Jason Jordan, everything's fine, and he'll be in the ring good. But it's never a given. Samoa Joe's not in the Rumble. We know that. And then now they're saying that Samoa Joe is probably out until March. And that probably means WrestleMania, because if he's out until late March, how are you going to set him up for anything in WrestleMania? Maybe he'll be in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, maybe. Probably not, because, you know what, if he's just coming back off injury, they're probably going to be like, nah, because those are clusterfuck matches where, you know, it's easy to get banged around if there's too many people in the ring. He's probably out of WrestleMania. But I'm interested, before we do our Raw rating, on what you, the fans, as well as the panel, think about Paige not being in the first ever Women's Royal Rumble. And I still say, despite everything she said about the WWE, despite everything she did to the WWE, despite her being a 25-year-old girl who apparently thinks like a 14-year-old girl, she earned this spot. And I understand completely that she's injured. But I'm telling you that if Mae Young at 85 can fall out of a wrestling ring and land on her feet and just say, okay, I'm fine, Paige can too, even injured. And give her the opportunity. Yes, you may have to rewrite the script of the Royal Rumble a little bit. Yeah, she may have to be the first one out. It doesn't matter. At least she's in it. Send her out first. Send Sonya Deville out second, and they don't fight. They just prance around the ring a little bit and say, oh, you know, we'll just wait for the next girl, and then she's our victim. And let the next girl be some girl you're not going to win and some jabron girl, and they can beat on her for a little while. Paige doesn't have to do much. She can just bark orders to Sonya Deville. Maybe Paige can back her in the corner and chop her once or twice. You can't do that. Come on. And then when Paige maybe gets up on the rope to wave at the fans and say, we're number one or something, maybe some girl gets whipped into her leg, the bottom of her heel, and she falls out very carefully and lands on her feet, but she's out. I honestly think that that's how important this is, that if I were Paige, I would say, at least give me this. I'm not going to get injured if it's written that way. The chances of me getting further injured is just as great being at ringside when girls are fighting than it is if I throw myself out, technically, which is kind of what she'd do. Or you could have her like almost, you know how they get these things where they're hanging on the ropes and they're practically laying down when they fall? It's so easy. It's so easy. I honestly think she's earned that. Mike, what's your thoughts about that? Because that bothers me.
I think she's earned it as well. I mean, you could even have the top three girls be all Absolution, and have the fourth girl be, I don't know. We know that a bunch of the old divas are coming back. So one of the older divas, you know, and have them throw her out, be on her for a while, and throw her out and do the same thing. But, yeah, she's earned this, and she should be in there. I mean, it's almost as being it's too careful, especially when you know people like, oh, I don't know, Dean Ambrose is coming back off of a broken arm or whatever.
Yeah, look, again, if Mae Young can fall out of a ring or go through a table in her late 80s, a 25-year-old girl with a neck injury can get out of the ring and not hurt herself. You'd have to take some great precaution. You'd have to say, look, guys, this is the way it's going to go, and everybody better be goddamn careful, but this is the way it's going to go, because we are not going to deny her entrance into the Royal Rumble. So she's going to get this special treatment this once. She's going to go out on her own power. You know, look, when The Undertaker threw Mick Foley off the cage, if you think for 1 minute The Undertaker threw anybody off anything, Mick Foley jumped off that cage under his own power. The Undertaker put no effort into tossing Mick Foley anywhere. His hands being on him doesn't mean anything. There was no force. There was no nothing. It was just, I'll move my hands in the general direction you're going. Could do that with Paige. And she could take a very, very careful spill and land on her feet and at least say, I was in it. Because something tells me her career probably isn't over. Her WWE career apparently is, because they said they're not clearing her. But when the contract is up, maybe she'll go wrestle somewhere. I don't know. What I do know is the WWE at least owes it to her to have that moment where she's in there for a minute or so. That's my feeling on it, Sabretooth. I know it's risky. What do you think?
Yeah, to me, it's just sad, though, man, because, I mean, I can see the, I can understand why WWE don't want to do it because, like, it's their neck. I mean, like, one wrong thing and she can be paralyzed. I can understand them not wanting to risk it. But like you said, though, there is a way where she can be in that match without her even risking it, you know? But it's sad, though, man, that this even
there has to be a way. And I know what the WWE will say. They will say, what kind of message are we sending? She can never wrestle again, but we'll let her in the Rumble. But a year from now, we won't let her in the ring, but she can be in this time. Well, the message you're sending is, this is too important of a moment for Paige not to be a part of it. And so we are making one exception in a very, very, very controlled situation with the lowest possible minimal risk possible to give her that moment. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, Todd.
You're absolutely right there about Paige. It is a sad thing right there, her not be able to wrestle at all because WWE doctors of her injury.
I get where they're coming from. But this is not a match. It's not a solo match. It's not what. It's a Royal Rumble. Look at the Bushwhacker. The one Bushwhacker came bushwhacking in and bushwhacking out. He didn't even last a second. Are you going to tell me you can't have her do a little tiny spot somewhere just to say she was in it? Now, if she says, no, I don't want to be in it, I don't want to risk it, then that's fine. But if she says, no, I really would like to be a part of this, then I think you're obligated to try to work out a little spot for her. That's all. She can be the last one in the ring if you want. Anyway, let's give our ratings to Raw this week. I'm going to go to you first, Mike.
Because of the jumping the shark moments, it's going to be – it would have been an A show, but it's going to be a B-minus show. And one other thing, can they not do something with – Nia Jax's outfit, it makes her look like a bowling ball, you know?
Yeah, she does have one of the worst outfits, I'll tell you. I don't know whether they think that somehow makes her look better, but you're right, it doesn't. Sabretooth, what's your rating?
I'm going to give it a C-minus, man, because they blew it with the whole Braun Strowman backstage thing, man. I mean, I was expecting a lot more. I mean, to me,
so
it was like... Yeah, to me it was like it's like I'm at home watching TV while a hurricane blows through my house. I don't even notice. I mean,
it's unfortunate that they didn't take full advantage of that. Todd, what do you think?
I gotta go with Sabretooth there, C minus, because.
Okay, I'm gonna give it a C. Some of that I really liked. I really liked the beginning. I really liked the revival match. I really liked Enzo coming down selling his move. His injury. I really liked the main event where it looked like we were gonna get some kind of a plot line. There were parts of this that I really, really liked. There are parts of this that was an A-plus show. Unfortunately, there were parts of this that was an F. So unfortunately, that's our rating. And we will be back here on Friday with our SmackDown report. We'll see you then. We'll be right back.
You're listening to WrestleChat Radio. WrestleChat Radio is a Savage Blade production.